Hello, I'm Fred Stella, president of the Interfaith Dialogue Association. Welcome to another edition of Common Threads. Last week, we began our conversation with Jane Griffune. She is a local author and a member of the West Michigan Writers Workshop, and she has a book out called London Street. It's a great memoir, and if you grew up in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and if you grew up in any of the Reformed traditions, a Calvinist, then I think this will be of interest to you. A little bit about Jane. She is a graduate of Calvin with majors in theology and English. Her works have appeared in Elysian Fields, 3288 Review, Perspectives, and Mars Hill Review. We welcome once again Jane Griffune.
Hi, Fred.
So last week, to recap, we've been talking about your book, and your book is a memoir of you growing up through several decades, the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, and actually you touch a little bit into the 80s.
It does. I'm old. Yeah.
And you grew up in the Christian Reformed Church. This is a book about exploration. It's a book about family, and it's a book about tradition. I think you hit on all of those and more, really. So let's talk about family right now. From the book, I gather that while it was a strict family, it was a very loving family, and you speak very highly of your mother and father. Do you think that it was your upbringing that led you to be so solid in the expression of your faith as a young adult? And a little bit of background here for people who have not read the book. When you're growing up, when you become a teenager and a young adult, you do all of the things that all young adults or most young adults do.
Yeah.
All right? You do not sit at home on a Saturday night and have three-hour Bible devotions now, do you, young lady?
Exactly. Even though my father said I should.
You know, you're dating, you're partying, and not to give too much away, but you party with a capital P.
Sure.
But you still make it to church every Sunday.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
Yeah.
What was it that pulled you in? What was it that pulled you out of bed on a Sunday morning after a delicious Saturday night and got you to church?
The compassion of the gospel, the emphasis that I was fortunate enough to have on, despite all the stern, all the Calvinist thing, there's a couple things. I was not brought up like the second generation Dutch people that we probably know now that are our neighbors. My mother was an immigrant. My father's parents came to America 1 year before my father was born. Long story short, we were not Puritan Calvin. My parents' friends smoke, drink, talk. They were, piety was important, but they knew better. Everybody was a sinner, and obviously that we could see. And so the fact that these people came, trusted God to forgive them, trusted God to be their refuge and strength through all these awful things that humanity goes through. We were a part of that, and I recognize that we were all just human. That was part of the reason that I wanted to write the story, is because I was fed up with this Puritan Dutch image that was not the case in our family. And so that kept me coming back. It was we need something. We need some objective. We can't be, our life can't be meaningful on our own. And so I couldn't articulate that at a younger age, but I still will say that I'm not ready to give up on God. I need a credible God, a God who understands suffering. And humanity is all the same. There aren't levels of piety. There aren't, you're on this side of the antithesis, you're on that side of the antithesis. We all struggle with the same things.
When you were a teenager and a little bit beyond, did you see a lot of your friends fall by the wayside and just put religion away, specifically the Reformed tradition, but just, you know, put it in a trunk somewhere and just move on with their lives? No, you didn't.
Not too many. I mean, they weren't what I call high church and sacramental like I am. They went to church for different reasons, but no, they didn't fall away.
You mentioned the Puritan brand, if you will. When I came to Grand Rapids, I mentioned last week when I was introducing you that I had no clue whatsoever of the Reformed tradition coming from Detroit. There are all sorts of Protestants, but it's a huge Catholic city as well. But I didn't know anything I knew something about John Calvin. That's about it. Mm-hmm. And so I had Calvinism defined for me by Calvinists and non-Calvinists, mm-hmm. if you will. Mm-hmm. The people who grew up in Grand Rapids who were not Reformed and who had their own ideas, right? Mm-hmm. And I was led to believe early on that the Reformed tradition really was very Puritan. And they mm-hmm. were telling me things like, people in the CRC didn't drink. Well,
they didn't. Many.
Yeah.
But not originally.
Not originally?
Well, not in the old country.
Oh, okay.
It got Americanized, Puritanized pretty quickly. Anyway, I'm interrupting what you're explaining. No.
But you mentioned your mother's sewing circle. Mm-hmm. Talk about that. I thought that was kind of fun.
My mother didn't drive. My mother's favorite friend and her older sister, the Aunt Jane, who I'm named after, lived in Hudsonville in the country on a little farm. So my other aunts and my mom would get together. One of them, Aunt Dinga, who's in the book, drove everybody over to Aunt Jane's farm every Wednesday night for what they called sewing club. Well, every aunt took turns bringing the Cracker Jack, they called it, which is treats for the night, you know. It was Jack Daniels. So, yeah. My mother's sense of humor is incredible. It's so dry and so kusbudlich almost, which is close to blasphemous, but yeah.
And all another thing too, of course, is how Sunday, the Sabbath, is expressed. And I'm sure that there is a wide spectrum in terms of what people think that they should do mm-hmm. and what they think they should do and what they really do. Mm-hmm. And you indicated a couple of perhaps contradictions. So, for instance, you said that your father did not go to church on Sunday night, and he seemed to be a very religious man. Why did he choose not to go back to church on Sunday night?
That was just practical. Somebody had to stay home with the babies.
I see. And you watched television.
We did.
Was that considered naughty?
Not naughty. My father was somewhat of a walking contradiction. He loved Ed Sullivan and Walter Cronkite, and he loved a lot of that worldly stuff, but he was... You know, I think if he didn't have children, the TV would never come on Sunday. But during church, we got to watch Lassie and the 20th Century with Walter Cronkite and so on. And my father watched it with us, so he was the one that wanted to watch it,
right,
of course.
Right. And then there was the
and
argument.
And he didn't feel shameful or anything.
Oh, okay.
No.
You didn't have to draw the shades.
No. And we did not drink in the basement.
Right.
We drank in the open. We served... when the minister came, we served him a slokya, which is a little glass of brandy. It was, yeah.
Okay. And there was the other thing in the book where you get in an argument with him because you went to see The Sound of Music, and he thought that that was too worldly.
Yes.
And let alone, of course, then all those nuns.
All that Catholic stuff
I know. He says to you, well, do they pray before the movie begins at the theater? And you said, yeah, but do they pray before a baseball game? Because he liked baseball.
They don't pray at Tiger Stadium, was my comeback.
Exactly, yeah, yeah. So clearly what he thought of as worldly suited his own tastes. Am I correct on that?
Yeah, but not individually. I mean, this was a Protestant Reform thing. And a lot of the Calvinists, too, you don't play cards. You don't play devil cards. And a lot of people that, you know, there was definitely some very strictness. But some of the weird things, especially like you can't wear pants on Sunday if you're a girl. And yeah, it wasn't consistent.
Sure.
But it was there.
I understand.
Yeah. Okay.
Like Walt Whitman says, so you tell me I have contradictions? Well,
yeah.
Yes, I do.
That's life.
Yeah, right. Deal with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
One other thing that I recall that was fascinating. So once a year, he took you to Wealthy Park Baptist Church, mm-hmm. which would have a totally different theology than yours.
Not so total. My father was somewhat fundamentalist because he was a literalist. But yeah, it was
different enough.
Unusual.
Yes. And what was his mission in taking you there?
He wanted to hear the minister.
Was that Otis Fuller?
Yes. Yes. It reminded him of Martin Luther King, who my father admired, and he said, I like that Fuller man. He's kind of like Martin Luther King. And we would go there every summer at least once. Yeah.
You know, this is way before Common Threads, way, way before, but we actually, a group of people and I had an idea for a TV show, which would be like this radio show back in the early 80s.
Oh.
And Otis Fuller was our pilot.
Oh, interesting.
And of course, the only thing he wanted to talk about is the primacy of the King James Version of the Bible.
That's another good reason my father would like him. Yes, absolutely.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Common Threads on WGVU. I'm Fred Stella. My guest today, Jane Griffune. She is the author of London Street. In the chapter on your sister's marriage, you say she played the grandmother part quietly. I believe you're talking about your mother here, right? Mm-hmm. I knew right then and there what kind of woman she was, and it wasn't crazy. What does that mean, that she played the grandmother part quietly, and by that you observed something very genuine about your mom?
It was probably one of the most difficult days for my mom in that, officially, she was not the mother of Ronald Lee, and she was very poised and very celebratory and very quietly, I try to describe her arms around Ronald Lee when the photographer's taking their picture. I forgot what you asked me.
What that line meant.
And I knew she wasn't crazy. In other words, I knew, sure, she had some really rough periods and so on and so on, and all kinds of things. But the stigma that went with her being in the hospital and stuff is what I was referring to. It's not like my idea wasn't crazy. I knew my mother wasn't mentally incapacitated. So that's a whole nother subject.
Right.
What does that mean? But I knew she wasn't crazy. People there at Pine Rest in our thing were either no faith or they were nuts. Not enough faith or they were crazy. And I knew neither was true at that point.
One of the areas in the book that I found a real education was your profession of faith, where you have to go in front of a panel of men.
See, I don't always remember all these things, but as soon as you say it, yeah, I go, oh, no, right. Yes, it, okay.
It sounds like a trial by fire for a doctoral dissertation. I didn't know that that's what people went through. I thought that when you were ready, this is my limited understanding, I thought in the Reformed tradition, when you're ready, when you say, yes, I want to join this church, usually as a young adult, you just get up in front of the church and you say, I accept all of this, I believe this, and bada boom, bada bing. Not that you would actually say bada boom, bada bing. Mm-hmm, right. It would be nice, yeah, but yeah, you probably don't.
No, there wasn't altar calls or anything like that.
So. No. I realize it's not an altar call, but it is something, this is what I thought happened.
Okay.
So mm-hmm. Tell us all the real story, how a profession of faith is made.
It's made after you go through all the catechism. And so, first of all, we're all baptized already.
Yes.
Okay. Which makes something of a difference as far as what profession of faith means. So it's like confirmation.
You're right.
The steps are way too long for me. I mean, you have to read that chapter and chapters before that, but you go through catechism, all your elementary school and so on, then you graduate to Heidelberg Catechism, straight Heidelberg Catechism, and then, you have to go to the consistory. And usually the catechism classes went in groups, and that's what that was out in the hallway. That was my catechism class. Mm-hmm. But then we're called in individually to make sure we're not there under pressure. You know, like my mom and dad said I had to do this or anything like that.
Right.
We were there to acknowledge we wanted to be a member of the church.
Yes.
It wasn't even so much Jesus is my personal savior. It's I adhere to this church and I want to be a member of the covenant of this church.
Yes. But your experience, and people will read this, was, I believe, more challenging than some others.
Well, that was my father's fault.
You're right.
Because he happened to be on the board of inquiry. He happened to be in the Inquisition on the other side.
The Dutch Inquisition. We only heard about the Spanish, but...
yeah.
And of course, he planted this seed because you were dating non-reformed boys.
Oh, yeah. That was awful for him.
And so one of the questions you had to answer was, why are you doing this? And you had to give reasons. And quite frankly, I thought you answered quite impressively. And I think they thought, regardless of whether it was right or wrong, I think that from what I read, that you impressed them with your logic. But now that I have you here, why did they think it was so wrong and you not think that there was any issue? I mean, let's put it this way, were you open to marrying somebody outside of the Christian Reformed Church?
Yes. I don't think the rest of the consistory members, the men, the elders, would have been as devastated as my father if that had happened. I'm not saying that's what they would approve of, but I think they would, you know, they wouldn't make it a matter of confession of a profession of faith like my father did.
Right. But so, the second part of the question was, at that age, would you have been open? I mean, if you're dating.
Oh, yes. I would have. I still am. I mean, yeah, I'd be open for that.
Okay. And would you say that most of your friends in your generation would feel the same way, or was that a minority?
I can't speak for
view?
Them. I think some were, sure, because many of my friends did marry outside of the Christian Reformed Church. So, yeah, it wasn't as big a deal as my father made it to be.
I'm jumping around a little bit here, but One part of the book, you talk about your, I believe it was your grandfather's store that burned down.
Yes.
And he didn't have insurance.
Correct.
Was that a religious thing?
Yes.
Can you explain the...
He just believed in God's providence. And it wasn't that he couldn't afford it. My father's parents were quite wealthy, actually. So, yeah, it was a religious thing.
But it was theological. It was a personal...
I know it's hard to separate in our family theology from belief, but yeah, it was both.
And you mentioned before, last week we were talking about the difference between the Reformed Church of America versus the CRC, and you said that they believed in unions. So you grew up understanding that to belong to a union was against the will of God, is that?
It was, it was on the wrong side of the antithesis. People were on the wrong side of the antithesis. They had to pledge if you were a member of the union, and so I think... And my father was thinking also of Mason and so on. And the Christian Reformed Church wasn't just my father. Unions were not appropriate.
No, I realize that.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I misunderstood your question.
I was talking about the church itself, not just your father's opinion. Yes, I seem to recall... studying the history of Grand Rapids in the early 20th century when there was a significant fight for unions and how theological that argument became with some churches and ministers on the side of the unions and others the side of the business owners. Mm-hmm. And
Christian education was another biggie split, between the two denominations.
Right, right. And how did you educate your children?
My children went to Christian school, private school. My children were not brought up like the second generation Dutch pictures we have of, for example, our Secretary of Education does not, that is not how we are in our Christianity, Kuiper and so on and so on. Sure, I was a Kuiperian. I know all that stuff. It is not like that. And our Christianity is not like a lot of private school ideas. Now, when my kids were in high school, my husband wanted them to go to the Christian school, and that was fine with me. It was easier that way. And they had a great education by that time. When I went to Christian school when I was little, my education wasn't that good. But anyway,
really?
Not academically, no. Oh. Anyway, so my kids were brought up they went to the Christian school.
Mm. What I found interesting here when I moved here and was sort of getting the lay of the land, is that your denomination... was able to sort of trademark the word Christian when it came to schooling. So, for instance...
To the point where my husband, Tom, thinks that that's the same. And I have to keep saying to him, it is not the Christian Reformed School. It is not.
But, so for instance, if somebody could say... If their kids went to a Lutheran school, they would say, my kids go to a Lutheran school. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't say, my kids go to a Christian school.
Yeah, and I just did that too, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
I have to say a couple things here a minute. I am no longer Christian Reformed. Okay?
Okay.
I want that to be part of this conversation.
Yes.
For better or worse.
But are you still part of the Reformed tradition?
No.
Oh, okay.
But I love my tradition and my history.
Okay.
Okay. We'll call it at that for now.
That's fine. So, very quickly, because we only have, how much we have? Just a few minutes left.
Okay.
I want to make sure that if people are interested in finding out more about you and what you've published, that they can find you on the web. So you have your own website. Quickly give us the address.
And www. JaneEGriffune.com. So it's J-A-N-E-E, griffune.com. And yes, I also want to thank the West Michigan Writers Group for all they did to make this happen. This happened with over so many years. That's not just them. But if anybody is interested in my story and in writing and get to know a lot of good writers and good people who aren't all Christian, what a wonderful group this is.
And how can they learn more about that online?
West Michigan Writers Workshop, and we meet every week Wednesday at the public library, except for now the libraries are not open. So it's been where we have all withdrawn our it's really hard not to get together. So we're together online, but it's
are you
just
doing Zoom meetings? Or
no, we don't want to do Zoom. So we just email. We have a group email and we rotate and stuff like that. But so about writing, you have to have a writer's group. And I was, after my MFA, at the time I started this writer's group, and this writer's group was the best thing that ever happened to me. I don't have an MFA, and I don't regret.
Okay, well, that's wonderful. I'm sure that the people who are interested in writing here in West Michigan would want to check that out. Jane, we are down to the wire for this episode. I want to thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
And I wish you the best of luck in the book. It really is a very compelling read.
Thank you so much.
Certainly. You're listening to Common Threads on WGVU. I'm Fred Stella. Jane Griffune has been my guest today, talking about her new book, London Street. Please join us again next week, right here on WGVU.